This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're tuned into Raise Your Game, and I'm Tasha Fusil. Nabi Raju is an innovation and leadership advisor based in Silicon Valley. He's also the winner of the 2013 Thinkers Innovation Award, and he was one of the speakers at TED Global 2014. In his latest book, Frugal Innovation, How to Do More with Less, Raju and his co-authors share the best practices of frugal pioneers to exhibit the benefits of this shift in perspective. Nabi is now at the forefront of contemporary innovation, and he has been reshaping the mindset of business leaders and boardrooms from across the globe. He joins us today to offer a guide to the Jugaad innovation and explores why it's a requisite in today's business world. Hi, Nabi. It's good to have you on the show.
Likewise.
What inspired you to write this book?
First of all, you know, my own background. I mean, I grew up in India in the 70s, and I remember water was rationed. We used to receive water only, you know, 2 hours a day. So I grew up in this environment of scarcity. So I've always been fascinated how in an environment of constraints, rather than feeling desperate, we're able to tap into ingenuity to, you know, survive. And later on, I went to the West and I spent a lot of my time helping companies innovate and become more successful, primarily by investing more in technology and things like that. And then since 2008, the recession began in the West, and it became very clear for us that we need to come up with a new innovation model where we're able to do more with less, which is essentially create more economic and social value using fewer resources. And that's when I decided to reconnect with my roots and learn from emerging markets how entrepreneurs and innovators there are able to essentially come up with very creative solutions using limited means.
So, you know, is this commonly practiced in India then to have this idea of frugal innovation? Is it a known thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, if you just Google, you will see that there's a lot of talk right now about frugal innovation. And indeed, yes, I think it's not just India. Many emerging markets, India, China, Southeast Asia, Africa, and South America, there is this kind of innate ability, you know, to deal with adversity and come up with frugal solutions. Like, for example, this potter in India who has invented this fridge made entirely of clay that doesn't consume any electricity and yet can keep fruits and vegetables fresh for several days. Or you have this entrepreneur in India as well who has installed solar systems in 200,000 rural households, you know, in very remote parts of India. So these are examples of people who essentially have very limited capacity and resources and yet are driven by this kind of a noble purpose to create more economic and social value for the local communities using very limited resources.
Instead of limiting you, it sort of opens up a whole lot of avenues, and you're not just limited by what you think might be budget constraints
or any other resource constraints.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, the theory is that essentially the Western model is that, you know, throughout the 20th century is that more resources results in more innovation. That means that, you know, we keep investing more and more in R&D dollars. To give you an idea, last year alone, the world's largest companies spent $650 billion in R&D, research and development. Yet research shows that there is no return on investment, right? The more you invest in R&D doesn't mean that you become more innovative. So clearly money does not buy innovation. So that means that what actually buys innovation is constraints. Mm-hmm. So the very constraints that we used to think are, you know, a restraining factor, now it's becoming clear that, you know, when you are in a constrained environment, actually it's a big spur, you know, for your creativity, because you tap into the most abundant resource we are all born with, which is human ingenuity, to transcend adversity and come up with these frugal solutions.
And you talk about Jugaad. What does that mean, and in relation to all of this?
Sure. Jugaad, you know, for most of your audience, you may relate to the TV character MacGyver. I don't know, many of you may have heard about him. Exactly. So it's the MacGyver, you know, this kind of TV action hero who's able to pull himself from any difficult situation using, you know, his Swiss Army knife and duct tape.
Right. And
very different than James Bond, you know, who has very sophisticated gadgets. So the James Bond is the Western innovation model, and MacGyver is Jugaad, which literally means the makeshift kind of solution born in a very difficult situation. situation. It may not be sophisticated, but it allows you, you know, to quickly resolve a problem. So jugaad is a Hindi word that means the creative ability to improvise a very effective solution in difficult situations. And it's practiced not only in India, but we learned that, you know, in Brazil, it's called jetino in Portuguese. In Africa, you know, there's a term called kanju. I'm sure that in, you know, in Malaysia, there must be an equivalent term as well for that.
So would it be fair to say that jugaad is another way to mean improvise?
Yes, it's exactly right. It's a kind of ability to improvise, deal with problems in a very, you know, ingenious kind of way, and do so without looking for resources. And I think that's the main difference, is that you use the resources you already have. Somebody told me that jugaad is almost like Jackie Chan, because if you watch any Jackie Chan movie, when he finds himself trapped in a situation, you can see that his eyes are always scanning the environment to see what resources he can find, like a chair that can take and hit an enemy, you know, or something right. like that. So, and that is very different than Bruce Lee. He's very fixed in his objective. And is, you know, so that's very interesting. So Jackie Chan, in a way, represents for me, you know, the jugaad spirit, because he's able to make the most of any resource he can find in any point in time in any environment.
Right. And I guess there's that kind of expectation, like, you know, we're talking about pop culture references. I'm thinking about Tony Stark, you know, when he's placed in a situation where his resources are extremely limited. He doesn't have the luxury of his own workshop, his own lab. He still manages to find little things to tinker away and create something out of nothing. And you kind of associate frugal innovation with people who are smart, though, you know, people who are able to think in a very different way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the term you use, tinkering, and, you know, what happens is that we produce a lot of thinkers in schools and, you know, and the work environment. We believe that the best thinkers are going to be the most successful. But I think we have to start celebrating tinkering, which is the ability to, you know, experiment and play with things. And I think for a long time, the 20th century, we kind of celebrated, you know, thinking and smartness. But I feel like in the new world where everything has to be reinvented, we need to go back to a culture of experimentation and tinkering again.
Can jugaad have a negative connotation?
Of course. Jugaad essentially is a tool. So, you know, how you use the tool depends on your intention. So it's like a knife, you know, you can use a knife to hurt someone, or in the hands of a surgeon, a knife could be, you know, life-saving. So jugaad essentially is a translation, is a human ingenuity, right? And we have seen in history, people use ingenuity to do negative things, but also use that to come up with great things. So jugaad is just a tool. How you use this tool depends on the intention and your motivation.
Is it in any way similar to that Western concept of hacking ideas?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, in my new book, Frugal Innovation, which is a sequel to my first book on jugaad, we indeed look at the emergence in the West. You talked about tinkering, and there is a sophisticated term for it now. We call it the maker movement. And the maker movement is something that began in California about 10 years ago. This is the, you know, this community of thinkers who used to get together once a year to show off their inventions, like electronic gadgets and makeshift kind of solutions. And it has grown significantly. And today, every mayor of major city, Singapore, I think, is thinking about having one. But in Western world, maker movement is exploding. And it's now coming to Shanghai has a makerspace now. So are other, Asian countries looking to that as well. So yes, it's like a hacking. The difference is that hacking has long been associated with software. You know, it's about hacking a software system, right? But this is basically about a hardware. So this is not about software hacking, but you can call it like a hardware hacking, mm-hmm. Because here we are talking about creating physical products, you know, in the real world, mm-hmm. Using increasingly affordable electronic components like Raspberry Pi, which is a personal computer the size of a credit card that costs only $30, for example.
Is there any way that frugal innovation could go wrong?
It can go wrong if it's done, you know, I would say in a large company, because in a large company, and I advise many large companies, they try to do frugal innovation in a very top-down way, you know? So, you know, somebody at the very top will say, let's do frugal innovation. Sounds like a very interesting concept. So they will come up with a strategy, and then they will, you know, invest a lot of money to come up with the frugal solution, which kind of defeats the purpose and the whole spirit of hacking and experimentation. So that is the danger of frugal innovation, is that people understand the logic behind it, but in terms of practice, they might be tempted to use the old mindset of big corporate structure, big money kind of thing to try it out, instead of thinking that actually what frugal innovation is about is to give time and space for employees to tinker and experiment, you know, outside traditional rigid, hierarchical system.
And that's got to do with the principles of Juga Innovation. So what is the essence of these principles?
Sure. I mean, some of the principles, I'm going to just pick maybe three of them. One is called engage and iterate. This is the idea that you need to engage with customers or the citizens that you're trying to help, and then understand what the basic needs are, and then come up with a good enough solution instead of a perfect solution, because the no idea here is to quickly get out a solution. And then you iterate. That means you incrementally improve the solution based on the evolution of the customer needs. Very different than the way it's done today in large companies, where we try to create an overblown, very sophisticated solution that does everything except address the basic needs of the customer.
Navi Raju speaking to us about the concept of frugal innovation. We'll be exploring a couple more principles of frugal innovation, so stay tuned for that. This is Raise Your Game on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Best for money. BFM 89.9.
You're still with me here on Raise Your Game. Good morning, I'm Tasha Fasil. Navi Raju is my guest this morning, and we're talking about the idea of frugal innovation, which in a nutshell is all about creating and innovating with less. Just before, Navi, you spoke about one of the principles behind frugal innovation. What are some other examples?
Another principle is the notion of doing more with less. How do we simplify products in a way that bring more value for customers, yet use fewer resources? And this is where the whole movement around, it's called the circular economy, which is about how do you recycle, reuse natural resources, is one way you can do more with less. That means maybe you recycle electronic components or some raw materials. And we have an example in the book of this company called Tarket, which makes carpets. They actually recycle 99% of their used carpet to make new carpet. Right. So this is a great example of, you know, how you can do more with less. And then the third kind of, you know, example or principle is we call it include the margin. And this is the notion that today most companies think that, you know, low income people are people that you have to help as part of your corporate social responsibility or your philanthropy initiatives. But we believe that if you come up with the right business model, you can actually include that segment into your core business and come up with the profitable solution to help them. And that's where frugal innovation is important, because it allows you to step outside your comfort zone and come up with affordable solutions for these segments of the society that have been excluded traditionally.
Right, and that's the whole idea, that these solutions are meant to be in the long term. Because sometimes, you know, the idea of hacking, you associate it with sort of quick fixes that are a temporary patch to the real problem.
Yeah, right. I mean, and that's where I think there is some misunderstanding I want to correct. I totally agree with you that, you know, it sounds counterintuitive to say, how can you come up with a long-term solution with the hacking? I think you can. So the hacking idea is what? Is to say, okay, I have a system today which is dysfunctional or no longer effective. So by hacking it, you try to make it more resilient or to improve it or to make it better. Hacking's main purpose is less about creating a patchwork and more about making a system more robust. And if you look at system after system, healthcare system, education system, you know, energy, transportation, every system in the world, both in the north and the south, you know, west or east, have to be transformed. So I think the Juga mindset is very helpful to kind of challenge the status quo, you know, and try to kind of improve it. And when you start improving it, initially, you don't want to think long term, right? Because you want to quickly experiment, try out different approaches, different solutions. And then eventually you realize this particular solution is better than others. And then that's the one you want to scale up.
Well, how do you apply this in your own work and daily life?
I actually have been just my own lifestyle. I mean, I don't have a car. You know, I try to bike everywhere I go in Silicon Valley. Trust me, it's not very easy. But I try to do more with less myself. I would say I don't have a very extravagant lifestyle, so I'm very frugal in my own lifestyle. But beyond that, the jugaad is also about the ability to improvise. And in my own life, people ask me, and that builds on your previous question, what will I be doing in 5 years? That's a question people ask all the time. I'm like, I don't even know what I'll be doing in 2 years. So my point is that I always try to improvise. That means, I always look for new opportunities that show up, like this invitation from you, to do this interview. I wouldn't have predicted, 3 weeks ago, right? So this just shows up. And so I have always practiced this idea of being open to opportunities. And the other kind of rule I have more or less is that every 5 years, I want to reinvent myself. So 5 years ago, I was in an academic setting, and today I'm writing books. And maybe in 3 years, I don't know what I'll be doing. Maybe I'll be doing something very different than what I'm doing today. So I think that's also jugaad, is about not just stay in a very linear trajectory of life and be willing to deviate and reinvent yourself continuously.
Right. And that's, having that flexibility and fluidity.
Absolutely. Recent research shows that the millennials are going to have 5 different jobs and potentially even 5 different career trajectories over the lifetime. Very different than my generation, which used to pretty much stay in one job, maybe 2 jobs, over the lifetime. So I think, yes, flexibility is important because companies can fire at will, and it's not just the negative side. Think about the positive side. You have new emerging markets coming up in places like Africa. There are some amazing technology, revolutions coming up. So you need to be flexible in order to seize these opportunities as well.
Okay. Is this a concept that maybe millennials would be much quicker to adopt?
Absolutely. I mean, millennials, I actually envy them because they are very resilient, very cooperative, very tech savvy. And they're also very much, environmentally and socially conscious. As a matter of fact, 2/3 of the young people surveyed by Nielsen want to work for organizations that are socially and environmentally responsible. So when I talk about being frugal, it's also about coming up with solutions that are socially responsible and environmentally, safe as well. So I think this generation, is going to put a lot of pressure on companies, both as consumers, but also as potential employees, to change, the dominant logic of large companies. So I'm very confident that as employees and consumers, they're going to change the, the corporate world. But beyond that, I think as citizens, they might drive changes in how governments think and act, because you and I know that most governments are not very frugal.
Yes.
So I think the governments have to change as well. And then more importantly, many of the young people may end up launching their own startups. This is a generation of makers. And so I'm very confident that the millennials will end up being, the Generation J or Generation Jugaad.
So change is imminent then?
Oh, it's already happening. I see in Silicon Valley, I see a lot of millennials launching startups that are not just about creating the next Facebook app or Angry Birds, but actually deal with real world issues like, how do you make healthcare more affordable? Or in California, we have a big problem with the water scarcity. So there are a lot of young people now launching startups to deal with, problems in, environment or society.
How do you get this message across to every person in an organization, for example?
That's where I was saying, we should be careful not to make a strategy out of it. A lot of people often ask me like, hey, Navi, can you come and make my company become, a jugaad organization or a frugal organization? And I always say, I can do it because the purpose is not to make the whole company, become very frugal and flexible, but maybe it's about experimenting with a new attitude. So I think the way to start is to kind of pick a particular area in your company, whether it's in marketing or it could be, in R&D or it could be in a particular product line. Try out this new mindset. Maybe in marketing, you can say, what will happen if tomorrow my budget is cut by 50%, right? Here is an interesting challenge, right?
Right.
Either you complain and you say, oh my God, I'm going to lobby my boss to get more money, or, and I have a real example, in PepsiCo, where in India, they actually reduced some of their marketing spending by using a software called the ZipDial, which allows you to conduct marketing campaigns using missed calls, you know, on cell phone. So this is a very frugal way to do marketing. So that means that essentially you can think about a particular function in your company like marketing and say, how can we have the same impact using 50% less fuel resources, right? It may sound like a challenge, but that's the whole point, right? The challenge like this will unleash creativity and allow you to do more with less.
Yeah, I think, you know, having this conversation with you, I'm realizing that a lot of the new inventions and all the new startups that I'm really impressed with, it all came out of this idea of frugal innovation, which is amazing.
Absolutely. And I think you're touching on something important. So what's happening is that in my new book, we talk about that, is you can call it the democratization of technology. And here I'm talking about not technology, you know, things like Facebook and stuff like that, but the underlying components, I'm thinking about the cloud computing, you know, the sensors, technologies that are becoming much more affordable. So these are becoming the building blocks for a new generation of startups, which can now launch companies that can disrupt. Think about in the car sharing platforms and things like that. You have 20-something millennials who can take on big transportation companies, right? By setting up a car sharing platform. Or think about Uber, you know, which is literally, you know, decimating the, you know, the taxi service kind of thing. So the list goes on. So I think the reason this is happening is because the cost of innovation is going down. And this means that it gives an unfair advantage for young entrepreneurs to jump onto these industries, whether it's energy, hotelry, and stuff like that. We used to think in economic terms about fixed assets. You need to have, you know, big capital investments made in physical hospitals or physical hotels. But today, with the digital platform, you can actually, you know, Airbnb has shown, you can actually disrupt the whole hotel industry.
Navi Raju, the author of Frugal Innovation. This has been Raise Your Game on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.